Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. All right, where are we at now? You ready? I'm going to give you a quick exhortation. Can I do that? Hallelujah. Can I get a glory to Jesus? Who's ready to receive something? Say, I am ready. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Go to the book of Ephesians. Pastor John is kind of our key connection there, but we also, started a church in Haiti back in the 70s, and I went and took a picture of that church that the church in Canada built. And from that church, there are now 24 churches, and the one church I spoke in had over 800 people, and they're building a large, large building and have several acres of property there. They have schools. It's 8 schools from 4 orphanages, so there's a work there that's doing really, really good with the Canadian churches. Is done there. You should say, my God, our church is doing stuff in the nations of the world. And you know what? That is absolutely true. So again, just say congratulations. You're awesome. All right. I'm looking for Ephesians. Who knows where that is? It's right there. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's begin at verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. I love Ephesians and I love this chapter of Ephesians. We're going to start at verse 7. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Say to each one. To each one of us, grace was given. Amen. Verse 8, "Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts of human beings." He gave humans. He gave men and women. He gave them, specifically those people, embodied gifts. When Jesus ascended, he gave gifts. He gave people who... bodily, they were gifts, not gifted people, people who had a gift, but people who themselves were the gift. They embodied the gift. He gave gifts. Jesus gave gifts to the body of Christ. Look at verse 9. "Now this he ascended," what does it mean? "But he also first descended in the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things." Where did he ascend? He sat down at the right hand of his Father. He's a priest who sat down because he's done. He's finished. He sat down. And you know, here's an amazing thing. We are also seated with him in heavenly places. When does a priest sit down? When he's done. We are literally in a place of rest, in a place of completely receiving and just abundantly blessed out of the gracious finished work of the cross of Christ. That deserves an amen right there. All right. "That he might fill all things." He wants to fill all things. He himself gave some. He gave these men and women. He gave people. It is not gender specific. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. Say some. Some is an interesting word, isn't it? Yes, I'd like some. I'll have some. What does some mean? I'd like some. Some means a certain amount of it. He gave some. There are some apostles. There are some prophets. There are some evangelists. There are some teachers. You know, you can't say everybody is one because it would have said everybody, but it said he gave some. Can I get a some? Some. He gave some. Gave some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Now, I believe in fivefold ministry. The only difficulty with fivefold ministry is we tie that word ministry to it, and really there's fivefold giftings to equip for ministry. But we use that phrase, and sometimes that causes people to go, well, the fivefold do the ministry. That's really not at all true. The fivefold are equipping gifts so we can all minister. How many know there's a sixfold ministry? And number 6 is us. And you know, I'm in the sixfold as well, which is the saints. You know, I might have a ministry. I'm one of those some. I'm one of those ones who is an embodiment of a gift. And people all over the world, believe it or not, people all over the world put a demand on me to come. They want me to minister in Africa. They want me to minister in Sri Lanka. They want me to minister in India. They want me to minister in Haiti. They want me. There's places in the world where they're putting demand saying, I see that you are one of those some, and I want you to come, and I want some or what Jesus has put in you and has made you a gift. I want some. But you know, not only that, I'm also one of the saints, which means that I'm just like everybody else. I need some ministry too, because I do ministry. How many know I'm not always, you know, pontificating and standing in pulpits and imparting and laying hands? Sometimes I'm buying groceries. And when I'm buying groceries, guess what? I'm a part of the same ministry as you. I'm a part of the saints. I'm a part of those folks that are out there. And I have also been equipped as a saint to do the ministry as well. There's an equipping ministry that I have a calling to do, and we have fivefold callings that help us equip. But it is equipping people to minister. And we go, fivefold ministry? Well, they do the ministry. No, they don't do the ministry. They are equipping people to minister. And that's why we have a whole bunch of preachers running around, blah, 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 and a whole bunch of other people just sitting in the chairs getting fat. I want you to know, a lot of people got sick in Haiti. It didn't do well. I want you to know, I gained weight. Hallelujah. So, don't know how that happened, but praise God. That was awesome. Verse 12, gave them for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Who does the ministry? The saints do the ministry. Turn around, look at yourself, say, you're in the full-time ministry. You are in the full-time ministry. Amen. That's good. All right. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many believe we've already realized that? Not quite. But you know what? It's positionally, everything necessary for it has been done, and the giftings have been given for us to come and be fully equipped and to realize that. All right, it says that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Look, that's not every wind of deceit. That's not every wind of lies. That's not every wind of false doctrine. That word is dogma. You know what? People get blown around by every word of dogma. People bounce from truth to truth. Oh, there's a new truth. I like that truth. I'm going to camp in here for a while. Oh, there's another truth. I'm going to jump in this truth for a while. And there's people all over the place out of balance because they run from truth to truth. It says a wise man, when he gets something new, he lays hold of that while he still hangs on to the other. It's in Proverbs. You can look that up on your own. All right. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity. Verse 14, we should not be children tossed to and fro by every trick of man and cunning craftiness or deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ Jesus. How many know Jesus is the head of his church? And the head's not sick. Hallelujah. If we align ourselves with his headship, we're going to walk in absolute blessing. It's good stuff. So he wants us to be aligned under his headship. From him, the whole body joined together, knit together, while every joint supplies. Say, every joint supplies. Every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It says that growth comes spiritually, numerically, naturally, every other way. Growth will only come in the body of Christ as each joint supplies, as everybody does its part. Is everybody here today? We're never going to experience growth no matter how hard I try or three or four people in this place try. Spiritual growth will not happen on my own. Spiritual growth, numeric growth, growth of the kingdom, growth of revelation, growth will only happen. The fullness of his headship manifest in the body of Christ will only happen as everybody engages the process, because grace has been given to everyone. Each one has been graced. Each one is important. Each one is necessary. Each one has a role to play. Each one has something to do. Okay, I'm going to move along. Did I say that? I'm going to move along. There's God's part, the impartation. Grace is deposited, the fivefold, the releasing, the equipping, the bringing of God's shape, bringing out God's shape, the person. The person is anointed, not the position. The person is anointed, not the position. The person is anointed, not the position. We need apostles. Let's throw the word apostle on a few people. We need some prophets. Let's throw that word on a few people, because the word is anointed. The word's not anointed. The person is anointed. The person is an embodiment of a gifting and a calling. So in Ephesians, we see this wonderful dominion blueprint, and it's God's part, the fivefold part, and our part. There's impartation, there's releasing, and then there's willing. Are you willing? You are choosing right now your result. Whatever result you're experiencing, you are choosing it. Who's choosing it? You are. There's God's part. There's a fivefold part. There's our part. There's the equipping. There's the releasing. There's that God's impartation. But you have to be willing. Three essentials for equipping. And I'm talking about equipping because tonight we are going to have a time together. And it's not going to be real long, but it's going to be real good. It's not going to be a real long time. You're going to be, I got to go there. It's not going to be like 2 hours or something like that. I tell you, I'm aiming at like an hour, maybe just tip over a bit if we have to. But we're going to have an hour of power and impartation, and we're going to have an equipping time. Now, equipping, my one got lost up there somehow, but three essentials for equipping. Number one is you got to be available. Say available. Got to be available. You can also tag in here just an open, teachable spirit. You got to be willing here. You got to be available. It's not about ability. It's about availability. It is hard to teach faithfulness. It is hard. You can teach skills and other things, but it is very hard to teach faithfulness. People are either faithful or they're not. It's very difficult. But it says in Jesus said, listen, he said, follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. So Jesus would literally walk on. And then, you know, if there's people following, they can be trained as they follow him. But Jesus, first of all, wasn't, hey, how many skilled people do we have? I need some people really gifted in speech and great orators. And I need some incredible communicators. And I need a few other people that are really good at organizing and got wild, crazy people skills, can really pull people together. And I need a few people. No, Jesus said, follow me. I will make you. But here's the condition. Are you willing to follow? Are you available? Remember when Elijah threw his mantle on Elisha and Elisha said, man, that's awesome. I mean, you want me to be your, you know, the follower of you. You are literally putting your mantle on you. You want me to be your successor. That is awesome. You know, and I want to do that. And as soon as my parents die and we sell the farm and I get my inheritance, I'm going to come join you. And Elijah picked up his mantle and he said, what have I to do with you? And he moved on. And when Elisha heard that, he said, you know what? I want that mantle more than I want daddy's farm. So he went down and he took dad's 12 John Deere tractors. I can't remember, it was 12 or 10. I think it was 12. He took the 12 John Deere tractors. He piled them up in a heap and he blew the whole sucker up. And his dad probably looking on the porch going, honey, there's a fire out there in the back 40. Don't know what's going on. He probably went out there and said, what happened here? Some old guy came through, mantle on your son, and he burned the whole place and he's gone. Follow me. I will make you. Follow me. That was it. Follow me. And Peter got up, left his nets. Matthew left the tax collector booth. They just left and I'm following you. How many following Jesus right now? No, you wanna be somebody who's gonna be equipped. That means you gotta be available. And listen, I like ability. I want ability. And you wanna put people where their giftings and their skills are. But it doesn't matter how skilled you are if you're not faithful. It doesn't matter how skilled you are if you're not available. I'd rather have a whole bunch of available people with passion who the Holy Ghost can anoint and teach something to than a bunch of people that are incredibly gifted, but they don't show up for nothing. All right, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I hate these sermons. I hate when he does this, you know. The Daytona 500's on today. What? Anyways, praise Jesus. Say praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:2, are the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses? He says, listen, he said, commit these to skillful men. He said, commit them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Oh, see, they have to be able. It doesn't say who are able. It says they will be able. Is that right, Pastor? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, the one who calls is faithful, he will do it. All right, give me another one. You ready? Be a servant. Be a servant. Be a servant. Romans 1:1. Here's Paul. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, I'm an apostle. I'm a big dude. I'm anointed. Pretty cool guy. No, you know, he said, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Give me another screen. James 1:1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I love that these guys, when they, you know, how many times have you seen somebody in ministry hand you their card and before it says apostle, it says slave of Almighty God, bondservant of the Almighty. When the Holy Spirit inspired these guys to write, and the Holy Spirit inspired them to write, the first thing that qualifies me to write this letter to you is, I'm a servant of the Most High God. This is better than your saying amen. This is, Jeff's good. You know, I pay Jeff for those amens, though. It's just kidding. He's a good amener. You can take lessons. All right, Mark chapter 9, 33 to 35. What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent. It was the first pastor's meeting. You know, what were you talking about there back there? He said, what were you disputing among you? We do this at pastor's meeting. How big is your church? I said, I run about one around the building every Sunday. One, yeah, one running around the building every Sunday, just, you know, full of the joys, shaking a tambourine. We're running one. Anyway, that was a joke. Okay, was it you disputed among yourselves? But they kept silent, for on the road they were disputing among themselves who would be the greatest. Who would be the greatest? How many want to be great? You don't want to be great? How many want to be mediocre? How many want to be average? Average life, average wife, average dog. I wanna cheer for the average team. Never wins, never really totally loses. It's always right in the middle. I just want the average meal from the average cook at the average hotel. How many want to be great? You should not feel weird about that. Because Jesus didn't say, oh, hold on a minute, hold on. You guys want to be great? Out! I want the mediocre people. No, greatness was not an issue. He says, because he said to them, he says, if anyone desires to be first or anyone desires to be great, he shall be the least of all and the servant of all. Being great isn't a problem. It's just that getting to greatness, you have to have a different mindset. See, I get people, they come and on last Monday, I spent the day painting a church wall in Haiti. Got a pair of pants all messed up, got oil paint all over them. I am an apostle of the Most High God. And I was like, my God, I got a brush in my hand. Look at this. I'm painting a stinking wall. Dust is coming all over. This will be dirty again in a week. Here I am, painting a wall. Well, thank you, Julie. I paid Julie for that too. You know, I loved painting that. I loved when we were done. And sadly, though, partway through the painting, I had to leave to go look for a car. So the rest of the team finished up, did good. Left Cheryl with the ceiling. She got covered with white paint. It was awesome. But you are awesome. You know what? You are the most awesome wife I've ever had. I've only had one, but you're the most awesome. I'm not looking at trading you in. You're the best. I don't even deserve you. It's unbelievable. You are God's gracious gift to me. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Okay, so... But, you know, I don't mind painting a wall. That's all right. I got people. Oh, you're the pastor, man. You gotta step up a little bit. Hey, the people need to kind of. You gotta wow the people. You know, well, people want to see you moving chairs and vacuums and stuff. I go. You know what? I want to be in a church where the pastor moves chairs and doesn't mind moving a vacuum cleaner. I want to be in a church where a pastor actually believes the scripture on purpose and understands that you're afraid to serve. You're afraid of greatness. Okay, that was good, Pastor. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on. Hallelujah. You're moving me hard here. Be a servant. Look at that. Look at what he says. He says, anyone who desires to be first, he has to be willing to be the servant of all. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Look, it says, you'll grow up into all things from him with the body, joined together, knit together. Say joined. Say knit. Say joint supply. Where does the supply come from? Comes from the joint. All right. So how many have ever taken two pieces of wood and put them together? That means they're joined, right? So they got to be close together. All right, I'm going to give you a little scripture here. Look at this one here. It's all the way back to Genesis. Right here, Genesis. Now, this is when Noah made the ark. How many want to know when Noah made the ark? It says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make the rooms of the ark. Cover the inside and the outside with pitch. How many know what the pitch was? How many know what the pitch means? The pitch, actually the very word kofar, is the exact word is used for atonement. Put them together, join them together, and on the inside and the outside, cover them with atonement. I love that, don't you? The blood of Jesus, the finished work of the cross, cover it with the finished work of the cross. Hallelujah. Cover it with the grace of God. Hallelujah. But you know, how many know that below the waterline there's some pieces of lumber, there's some joint supplying below the waterline? How many know that you don't ever see them, but you know, they're very important down there. How many know that? How many know if you had a board below the waterline, you couldn't see much, but you're glad it's there? How many know if a board below the waterline said, I'm sick of being under here. I'm sick of seeing, all I see is, you know, squid and shrimp and lobster. Nah, I'm getting hungry. That's all I get to see. A few starfish. I never see the sun. Never see nothing. I don't get to see nothing down here. I'm tired of it. He pulls himself up. He goes up on the deck. Goes, wow, look at how you people living. This is awesome. Look at you. You framing in a window. You look really nice. I mean, I'm down there in the bottom covered with barnacles and all that stuff. And I mean, I'm sick of being down there. How many know immediately a lot of other people up top when the water's coming in, the people up top are going, you might be covered with barnacles, but we appreciate you. We may not see you much, but we need you where you are. Because when you're not joined together, when you're not where you need to be, I mean, something isn't functioning right. But how many know often the things that aren't seen are more important than the things that are seen? That's why people come to church. You know what they see an awful lot of at this church? Me. You know what isn't very important? Me. I'm not that important here. And if I am that important here, then we got to do something. We got to change something. If you're coming here for me, I mean, I'm below the waterline. I'm down there. I'm just working down under here. I don't even care if I'm seen. I am so unnecessary. It's unbelievable. It says that the parts of the body that you see, they're not the important ones. The others are important. There's people here who do stuff that you never see. There's people here who serve this place. You never even know about it. There's people here who visit people, go to people. They're praying constantly. They're doing things and you don't even know their name, and they're actually important people in this church. It isn't me. I'm just one of that sum. I'm just one of that group, but I'm only important if I'm doing what I should do, and that's equipping people and helping people, and I want to equip people, not just be up here trying to do the best sermon in town so we can get a crowd. You know, if we're going to get a real crowd when every joint supplies, when everybody is hooked up, when everybody's knit together, it says that causes growth, that causes the headship of Christ to be realized, that causes a church that's really going to manifest the glory of God. All right, Pastor. See, Noah did according to all that God commanded him, and it all went really good. Can I get an amen? All right, that's good. Come on, can I get an amen? Turn the page, Pastor. I'm almost done. Be a minister. Number three is be a minister. So what were we talking about? What did we say? Be what? Be what? Be available. Number two is be a... That was really weak, wasn't it? Do I got to go back to the second point? All right, number one was be available. Number two is be a... Thank you. Number three is be a minister. Everyone in the body is a minister. Hello. Hello. Put your right hand up right now. In the name of Jesus, I, as an apostle of Almighty God, I now credential every one of you as ministers in the body of Christ. You are now free to loose the kingdom of God everywhere you go. You are now ministers of the Most High God. I've got cards printed for all of you in the foyer. Go and minister the kingdom in the name of Jesus. I want to minister. I want to be in the full-time ministry. You're already in the full-time ministry. Everyone is a minister. It says, Ephesians 4:12, that you are equipping people for ministry. The Amplified says his intention was the perfecting, the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering towards the building up of the body of Christ. It's not the fivefold ministry that is so wrong. It's the fivefold equipping that looses saints to minister. All right, look at another passage. It's in the Message to train Christ followers, skilled servant work, working with the body of Christ, the church, until we all, moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully matured adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. That's good stuff right there, man. Every one of you are a minister. 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. I can't minister. I'm not competent. No, remember what he said, follow me. How many can follow? I don't know. Have you got a GPS? Yes. The blood of Jesus will position you in God's will every single moment of your life. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything of ourselves, but our competence comes from Him. He has made us competent as ministers. He has made us competent as ministers. 2 Peter 4:10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, amen, is each one here today? As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I will never see the full manifold grace of God if everyone doesn't minister out of the grace that's been given them. And you have all received. If you believe the Bible, then you must accept that you have received and are gifted and graced by Jesus Christ. If anyone speaks, let him speak as an oracle of God. When I go places, I speak boldly because the Bible says, if you're going to open your mouth, you speak as an oracle of God. And I open my mouth and say, God told me, hallelujah. It was kind of fun in Haiti because Dylan got up and shared. And before I said, just grab a scripture, pick out any scripture. I mean, like Philippians 1:6, that's a good one. So he goes to it, Philippians 1:6. So he gets up to share and he says, I just want to take you to Philippians 1:6. God showed me this morning. He said, I want you to know God begun a good thing in you. He's going to continue that. He's going to bring it into manifestation in your life. And you know, God telling me there, and he expounded on the whole thing, but I thought it was amazing. So we got in the van after, and I said, son, you see me as God. That's awesome. You know, but, you know, he took that verse, he expounded on it and did what he did. But I love it because if you're going to speak, Speak as an oracle of God. Speak as an oracle of God. It was fun because then Jordan, you know, he had to get up and he had to share too. So he had to share in the night meeting. So he got up and he said, I was at the hotel and pastor said he wanted me to share. So just like that, I got to share. And we were there and I'm looking at the parrot. We got a parrot in the hotel and the parrot's just grumpy. In fact, he's a mean parrot. And he said, this parrot's all grumpy because his wings have been clipped. And they say he's been there for years, literally on that little perch. He's been there for years. And I thought, you know what? I would be mean and ugly if I've been on this perch for years and somebody clipped my wings. But he says, I'll tell you. And this is, he got all prophetic on us. It was amazing. He said, I'll tell you something. The Lord then took me to a scripture. And I went, the Lord, God took him to a scripture. Hallelujah. So he went and he opened his Bible to Isaiah 40 and he said, I tell you, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall not run. They shall run and not grow weary. They walk not. They'll stretch out their wings as eagles and they will soar. And he says, when I read that, I saw the wings of God spread out across this nation. Wings of healing, wings of prosperity. And I'm like, my God, I'm going to take up an offering. But I thought, this is fun stuff. These kids are just straight up going, God told me, he spoke to me, and you know something? It doesn't matter. Who cares about the hose? We want water. Who cares about the hose? We want water. And you know, if you're going to stand up and you're going to be a hose for God, they want life. They want him. And if you'll stand up and show yourself available and say, I'll be a hose, living water will flow through you and he'll equip you to touch and bring life wherever you go. Hallelujah. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that all things and may bring God glory. Can I get an amen? Sorry, that's 1 Peter. I may have got that wrong if you were looking for it. How many noticed that was the one thing each week that is wrong in the notes? My wife caught it this week. She gets a chocolate bar. All growth spiritually and numerically happens when each person finds their placement in the body of Christ and functions. Thank you. That's a good place. Amen. Let me read that again. All growth spiritually and numerically happens when each person finds their place in the body of Christ and functions. You can't grow by yourself. There's certain things, certain revelation, but you know, you don't really know if you understand forgiveness until I step on your toe. You don't really know if you can love like Christ loved until you're in a place with other people and they say, love me, please love me. And you got to go, all growth. All right, what do I got? I got another slide there. All right, so quickly now, how does God reach teachers? How does God reach teachers? How many know teachers need Jesus? Teachers, it says he disguises a minister as a teacher and he manifests himself in that community. Oh, no, I'm not a minister, I'm a teacher. No, you're not. Stop it. You're a minister. And God has disguised you as a teacher. Oh, no, I go to teachers. Stop it. Pay attention. We're all ministers, first and foremost. And then wherever he's placed you, is because he wants you to reveal the kingdom where you are. And you should be really good at it. You should be better than everybody else because you've got wisdom from above and the Spirit will lead you into all truth. That's just spiritual truth, isn't it, Pastor? No, that's all truth. Remember that, what was it, George Carver Washington? Remember how many revelations he got from God on a peanut? That was God. No matter where you are, he can do it. Now, listen. He distinguishes a minister and he disguises them as a teacher and manifests himself to that community. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, this one's for a couple people. We got one fellow studying to be a lawyer here. Hallelujah. God bless you, Chris. We got Paul. Paul is a lawyer, good functioning lawyer here. And I love Paul. I tell you, I thank God for Paul in my life so often. But Paul, bless you. I mean, my God, look at this. How does God reach lawyers? That's not nice. Hey, I just had to rebuke about 45 lawyer jokes right there. How does God reach lawyers? How does God reach? He disguises a minister as a lawyer, and he manifests himself in that community. So I went right to the hard one. I went right to the hard one. Bang, right there. If he can do it through Paul, he can do it through you. We got nurses in this place. No, we don't. We have ministers. And you know what those ministers do? They have put on a cloak and taken up a skill of nursing so that they can go into that field and they can manifest the kingdom of God. And our workplace, I mean, people are trying to keep us from being kingdom in the workplace. Good luck. Because you know what? You can never take away my manifestation of kindness. You can never take away my manifestation of excellence. You can never take away my manifestation of unconditional love. You can never take away my manifestation and demonstration of extreme generosity. You can never take away the manifestation of when somebody, and you got a boss who's just hardcore ugly and you can't stand being there, and he says, walk a mile, you say, can I go too? God, get me out of this job. He's just wrecking my life. Wreck his life with the goodness of God. Overcome evil with good. Or else I'll buy you a block of cheese for that wine. Anyways, that was a joke too. Equip. We're going to have a meeting tonight. It's about equipping people. How many know if all you get is one little dose from the pulpit every Sunday? Well, I'm exposed to all kinds of other ministries. Well, that's part of the problem, because we got a lot of wacky ministry out there. There's a lot of really good ministry out there, and I get exposed to a lot of really good stuff, and I teach myself. I stay flexible. I learn. I read all the time. I'm reading books all the time. I'm growing all the time. I'm listening. I'm going to conferences. I'm getting impartation for myself because I want to grow. How many know you want your pastor to grow? But folks, did you stop growing? Because, you know, the next thing from stopping growing is rotting. So, wow, in a very gracious, loving, and kind way, just wanted to set up tonight that we're here tonight. We're going to do some training, some equipping. You're going to have fun. We're going to enjoy ourselves. How many love spending time with your pastor? If you don't love spending time with your pastor, please find a church where you do like spending time with your pastor. Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. If you don't love me, what's your problem? It's not because I'm lovable. It's because you need to love your pastor. So if you don't love your pastor, who wants to go to church every Sunday going, ah, I got to listen to Unlovely Head again. Blah, 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 blah. Whoop, 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 whoop. Who wants to do that? You know what? I love the people I minister with. I love my eldership. I love my eldership. They're my elders too. They're people that I call and say, I'd like to buy this guy a new van. I'm going to throw it on my credit card right now. What do you guys think? Go ahead. I love these people. I love you. I love being with you. I love when we have a meeting and I get to hang out with you more. I love you. And you need to say, man, I love you. I love this church. I love the leadership of this church. And what is going to crush the world out there is when they walk into a community where there is that kind of selfless, sacrificial love for one another. That will crush every spirit that's out there, and it will show them a revelation of a wonderful living God. Amen. I got to wrap it up right there. Amen. How many want to come to the altar right now and repent of your unlovely condition? Come on, stand up with me. It's so good to be home. I tell you, it is so good to be home. I love you so much. You know, could you do something for me? I just want you to just bow your heads right now, close your eyes, and just want to ask right now. Maybe you're here today and you're visiting Impact Church, and this isn't your church home. It should be. If you're just visiting, but you know, you might be here today and you don't even know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you know what? He knows you and he loves you. And he wants you to start that journey right now with him. Right now, he wants you to do that. And right now, he wants to come into your life. And right now, he wants to cover you with his love and his grace. And so if you're here today and you say, I don't know if I know Jesus. I don't know if I'm in the body of Christ. Then I want to pray for you because I want you to know. And I want his spirit to come testify with your spirit that you're a child of God. Are you listening? Because you know it. Your heart's going pitter-patter because I'm talking to you. So I'm just going to do something very simple. I'm just going to count to three. And if that's you, and you know that you need to know Jesus today, you don't want to leave here today without being part of the body of Christ. After I count to three, you're just going to raise your hand. That simple. And I'm going to pray with you. You ready? So we're going to do that right now. Ryan, you're good, buddy. You're in. You're totally in. But I love that you do that because it's like I'm successful every week whenever you do that. It's good. But I do, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want to pray for you, okay? So here it is. See, all heads are bowed and eyes are still open. Eyes are closed. right now in Jesus' name. But look, one, two, three. Just put your hand really high so I can see it. Put it up really high. Anyone? All across. Anyone? Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? You know, we're all going to pray together. So your hands up, you pray. You put your hand down now, but we're going to pray, okay? And we're all praying. And you're going to pray, and quite simply, you're saying, Jesus, I want to start this journey with you right now. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Are you ready? So just pray with me, everybody together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dealing with sin once and for all. Thank you that I'm accepted by my Heavenly Father. Come now, Jesus. Right now, cause me to be born from above, a child of God, in the family, once and for all. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord and being my Savior. Holy Spirit, come, take residence in my life. Do it all now in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. All right, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Right now, I want you to know you're a child of God. You really are. You're never going to be more a child of God than you are today. You are a child of God with every benefit of a child of God. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And you should expect blessing. You should expect His love for you every day. You should expect His care and concern to surround you every moment of your life. You're blessed. You're a child of God. Welcome to the family in Jesus' name. All right, going to pray for you, going to send you on your way. But right now, there's teams coming forward who can pray for you. If you need prayer for anything, if there's any issue or any revelation, you need a word from God, anything, we got incredibly skilled people. The testimonies we get of prayers that take place at this altar are amazing. And I love these people. And the way that they are literally, these people, we got a bunch of hoses up here hooked up to the Almighty, and they're going to spray you with the glory of God. And I tell you, there is glory here. There is power at the altar. There's breakthrough at the altar. And if you need prayer, don't go anywhere. Come, the altar is open for you to receive prayer. Can I bless you? All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful house. Thank you for the love of the Father that is so evident in the hearts of these people. Father, let the love wrap them, surround them, let it be multiplied, I pray. Grace, God's grace, the grace of Jesus, thank you that you've poured it upon us. Thank you that it continues to erupt in our hearts and our souls. Thank you for your grace. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you are my partner, you are my confidant, you are my standby, but you're with me every moment of the day. You will never leave me or forsake me. Thank you for your companionship in this journey. Let's go, Holy Ghost. Let's go manifest the kingdom right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.